And here we are coming to you live once again from our top secret broadcasting and research laboratory. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live with you today, broadcasting and streaming through Sermon Audio, PastorMikeOnline.com, PropheticResearchMinistry.com, Watchman FM 91.3, Samburu, Kenya. We are glad to be with you all today. I had a thought yesterday in my office before church on Wednesday night, before our Bible study. Men just kind of creep into my office unawares. And I got a big coffee pot in there for them, and we just sit and talk and chew the cud and everything else. And I'm just sitting there, and I just had this thought. And I pulled out my, I've learned to keep all my notes on my tablet so I don't lose them, and now I've lost my tablet. I think it's in my backpack. But I have a Samsung Note tablet. And I like it. It's got a little electronic pen that goes with it. And I keep all of my sermon notes and Watchman's outlines on there so I don't lose them. They're stored in the cloud. And all I do is reach up and grab them. And I had an idea for, I don't know if it's just a personal study of mine or whatever God does with it is fine with me. But it was, the idea was prophecy from scratch. And let me explain what that means. And here's what made me think of it today. I've got an article here called Making Designer Jeans from Scratch. Wait till you see what's in this article and how it relates to the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. Wait till you see, because we're gonna look at the story, and then we're gonna go to the scriptures and find out what's going on. I have read prophecy books nearly all of my life. One author or the other. Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth. I remember another book that he wrote. And I don't remember what it was. Back in the 80s and 90s, Tex Mars was writing books, and I don't recommend him, by the way. There's something wrong with Tex, I'll tell you that. He hates Israel. The man hates Israel. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But I was reading some of his early books, Grant Jeffries, watching Jack Van Impey every weekend. Jack Van Impey presents. Oh, Rexella. Oh, we got some exciting things to talk about, Rexella. And so I was watching that all the time. And growing up, listening to preachers preach about the rapture, preach about the second coming, preach about the mark of the beast, and hearing stories about how it was going to happen and this and that and the other. And I'm taking it all in. I'm trying to learn what I can. When God called me into this ministry back in 1997, the first thing that I was going to do was I was going to go buy prophecy books. I was going to go to the bookstore and get all the prophecy books off the shelf and read them. Ah, this is what's going on. I have admitted that in those days and in the past, when I would read a prophecy book, I'm sorry I did this. When the book would mention scripture, I would skip over the scripture and read what the guy of the book said. Yeah, because I already know the scriptures. I want to see what he says. It's a bad habit I used to have. And when God takes a rod to you and turns you around, you get turned around. And somebody hands me a book, and the first thing I'm looking for is scripture. I want to see what scripture this guy's using. Guy sent me a book several years ago on geocentrism. If you don't know what that is, I won't get into it today. But I'm going, okay, geocentrism. I started looking. I decided to just look at every place he was printing in this book from the King James Version. And I'm going, the King James Bible says the earth is established that it cannot be moved. That's what the Bible says. So when God called me into this ministry, 1997, I told the Lord, I prayed, and I said, God, after God just confirmed in me, Mike, I wrote a book on prophecy. It's a sure word. Read it. Lord, I understand that. I thank you. And tell me where to start reading, Daniel or Revelation. God said, open it up, read it. So I just began to read the scriptures. And along the way, the ideas were coming to me about numbers. God said, study numbers. So I had two books on Bible numerics. One was by E.W. Bullinger. The other one was by an independent Baptist preacher, Ed Vallow. And Vallow's book was, I mean, it was great, and he uses a lot of scriptures. That's what I was looking for. And I closed the book. He had a list of what the numbers meant. And I closed the book, and I said, okay, let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, I want to know from the Bible what these numbers mean. And I'm not casting any doubt upon Ed Vallow whatsoever. He's now gone on to be with the Lord, and I thank God for his work. But everything, if we read another man's work or listen to another man, like you're listening to me right now, it is your duty, it is your absolute duty for you to search these things out yourself to see whether they are true or not, to see if they stick according to the Word of God. So I close the book. And I said, God, you show me what these numbers mean. And that's, I started studying the use of numbers in the text of the King James Bible. And that's how all of that came about. I encourage you to do that. So we're going to do some of that today. You're just going to go, hallelujah. When you, the Bible is such an amazing book. And some people have it in their mind that, prophecy is, you know, just kind of limited to the book Revelation and the book of Daniel. Those are the two prophecy books of the Bible. No way, Jose. The whole thing, Genesis to Revelation, it's a pure, sure word of prophecy. And so the deal that I made with the Lord was that I would attempt to disregard everything that I had read, every sermon that I had heard, every point of view that I had been educated on as far as prophecy, eschatology, these eschatological views, premillennialism, postmillennialism, amillennialism, pre-tribulationalism, post-tribulationalism, mid-tribulationalism, preterism. Those are the people that are way, way off and way misguided. And I just said, Lord, I'll believe it the way you, and so I just tossed everything out. I tossed, and some people are going, oh, that's dangerous. Oh, that shows right there. He's going off the way. I threw the rapture out. I took the whole idea and I said, gone. Now, Lord, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And the thought that was in my head at the time was, if I think I already know it, then I won't learn it. So I just assumed that, I mean, everything was, would it be on the table or off the table? I think it would be on the table. Everything that I had ever received from any teacher, any book, any preacher was on the table. And I said, God, you put it in me how you want it, according to your word. I'm not saying that, wow, I'm some special because God chose me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you'll make that deal with God, if you'll say, God, I'm going to pretend I don't know anything and you teach me from your word. That way I'll know that it's right. I'll know that it's true. And I'm talking the incorruptible word. When you have to approach your study of the, I don't care if you're looking for doctrines of baptism, doctrines of salvation, doctrines of the second coming, doctrines of the remission of sins, what part animal sacrifices play, the role of the high priest. I don't care what you're looking for. If you approach the Bible with the idea that maybe it could be wrong, you've already started out doing the wrong thing. I got an email. I'm going to go ahead and throw this in here. I got a stack of papers a mile high. And let me read. I'm not going to give names because I'm not sure about, well, the person that sent it to me. I don't know that I had their permission to mention names with this or anything like that. But this person writes in and says, Pastor Mike, thanking God for his glorious book. I was attacked for defending it today. Below is the response from my attacker, who is a family member. And this family member entitled this little tirade, Why I Don't Worship at the Altar of the KJV. Now, first of all, you got it wrong. The King James Bible is not the altar. The cross is the altar. The King James Bible is the living Word of God. It is the Word that was with God, and the Word was God. So here is this person's comments. There's a lot here. Let me kind of cut to the chase here. Somewhere along the line, I became aware of the new King James, and I figured I'd give it a shot. Now, here's what they told you the New King James Version did. The New King James Version is based upon the reliable King James Version. The only thing they did was update the language, and they got rid of the these and the thous, and they replaced it with you, which is grammatically incorrect. Grammatically, it fails right there. If you just stop right there and examine the New King James Version of the Bible, and from specifically from the point of view, from the difference between thee, thine, and thou to you, that book has already come short of the glory of God. Because the word you is never a proper replacement for the second person singular, thee, thine, or thou. Never is. So when you're praying the Lord's Prayer from the New King James Version of the Bible, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your plural name. Your kingdom means plural. Come, your, all y'all's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the problem that you encounter when you replace thee, thine, or thou with you. So it comes up short. The second place it comes up short is in 22 occurrences they took the word hell out, took it out, replaced it with Sheol, Gehenna, and Hades. Stand to your feet, raise your hand, and shout hallelujah if you know what Sheol means, or Gehenna, or even Hades. You don't know. But that's what they did. They took it out. They want you to think, I guess, like the Jehovah's Witness do. Oh, that's just the grave. And that's really what Gehenna and Sheol and Hades are all about. That's what it's about. They took it out. So anyway, this person replaced it with the New King James Version. Listen to what they said. I felt as if shutters had been opened in my mind. Now, this is the Bible that has the witchcraft symbol of the triquetra on the face of it. The shutters had been opened in my mind, and as I was able to understand, deeply comprehend what I was reading, a chapter or two every Sunday waiting for my chronically late friend to go to church with me, all the way until chapter 10 when God broke my heart, filled my understanding, and invited me to believe. I refuse to worship at the altar of the KJV. I have met God, and he is much, much greater than any one human translation of his holy word. This is where, stop right here. This is where you're wrong. Do not interpretations belong to God? If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and let one interpret. For no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretations. For with men of other lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, saith the Lord. So they can say, well, man translated that. Well, listen here, pal. Man translated the NIV too. And there I'm wrong. It wasn't just men that translated the NIV.
It was a very masculine-looking woman named Virginia Malincott,
who is a lesbian. Go to her website. Go to her blog. She brags about the fact that she was on the Exalted NIV Translating Committee. So anyway, if you can't make head or tails of the KJV, I invite you to read the NIV or the New King James Version. For that matter, I've met a great pastor who was saved reading a dog-eared copy of the Good News translation. You know what that is? The Good News for Modern Man. Read the Mess Edge Bible, if that's what it takes. But truly meeting God and giving yourself to Christ Jesus is far, far more important than devotion to a bunch of archaic typewritten words on gold leaf paper bound with a leather cover. You're messed up. You think we're the ones that are all weird in the head? You think that God is above His word? He's not. Thy word hast thou magnified above all thy name, David said in the Psalms. I'm telling you, people hate. Think about what was said of the false prophets of the last days. By way of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That means they hate the King James Bible and they will speak evil of the Word of God. Here it is. Here it is. They are applauding. They are applauding all of these other modern translations, including the Message, which was written by a Newager. Written by somebody who is loaded full of New Age thought and New Age ideology, including it putting in the Lord's Prayer. Well, here's the Lord's Prayer. As above, so below. Where did he get that from? By the way, somebody remind me, there's a movie coming out this summer called As Above, So Below. I just wonder if that's going to have any secret hidden meaning in it. I'll probably have to go see it. But if you approach the Bible and your study of doctrine, your study of theology, your study of eschatology, if you approach it with the idea that you have a right to change the words that are in the Bible, you've already started out the wrong way. But if you will go to the Scriptures, read it, and then read it again, and then God will give you the understanding, and then God will give you the wisdom. He'll start helping you put things together. And I'm talking from Genesis to Revelation. Read that book. Let God open up windows of blessing into your life by giving you His treasures from heaven. And it's not money. It's treasures of wisdom and understanding. And God took a foolish person such as me and you and gave them His pure doctrines. So I just told God, I'm gonna put everything on the table. And I'm going to throw out the rapture. Now, if that event is really going to take place, it should be in this book and plain. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, you said that I could call upon you and you would answer me and show me great and mighty things that I knew not. And I'm confessing to you, Father, that I don't know what I thought I knew. Now, some people are rattled by that. Some in certain religious Christian establishments, that rattles them. They don't want you to do that. What they want you to do is believe what they say because we said so. That's what they want you to do. And if you, by reading the Scripture, come up with a question where their doctrinal statement or their eschatology statement doesn't match with what's in the Scripture, they'll hand you some guy's book or tell you to go to some guy's website and say, read this, and then you'll think the way I think now. And all you have to do is very politely say, no thanks. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. That's uncleanness. I'm not touching it. So, prophecy from scratch. And Ileana made me a graphic. If you go to this right here, www.facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online, right now, You can see that graphic. Click on like and share and all of that other good stuff. By the way, the email address, you see it right here, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. You can write in and you can just express all of your opinions to me that you want to. And I'll even entertain a few Hoggard, you're an idiot types ones. Okay. I didn't say I'd read them. I said I would entertain them. Okay. I can do this. Wasn't that very entertaining? Anyway, here's an article that really, and get your King James Pure Bible Search software ready. Get it ready. Because we're going to look at a word, all right? Wait till you see this. Making designer jeans from scratch. Now, those of you who live, we've got listeners in Kenya and places like that. Let me tell you what that phrase means. I don't know where it comes from. But we have a tendency in America to not eat things that we have made ourselves. That's our... And, of course, this is why Americans have big, fat faces and they have big, fat bellies and big, fat other parts of their body is because we eat a lot of prepackaged foods. If we bake a cake, we go to the store and we buy a box of cake mix. Or we go to the bakery and buy a cake. That's what we do. If we want some sort of nice supper, some nice meal, we go to the store and we buy a box of meal. We buy a box of dinner, box of supper. We go to the frozen food section. We buy a bag of frozen food, put it in the microwave oven, heat it up, and sit and eat it while we're watching television. That's what Americans do. My grandmother, however, didn't live that way. Her and her husband, my grandfather, lived through the Depression, and they didn't go to the store and buy boxes of food already almost prepared for them. When she made biscuits in the morning, and I'm talking about breakfast biscuits. I'm not talking about them skimpy little British cookies. I'm talking about big old fat... my meemaw made the best yeast rolls in the whole world from scratch, which means that she mixed the flour by hand. She put in the ingredients. She put in the yeast. She let it rise. She made these big, humongous, fat, hot, baked, fresh dinner rolls. She made these big biscuits. They were about this thick. With flour, and I don't know if she used self-rising flour, but she would use flour and baking powder, and which has baking soda. It's called artificial leavening. And she would make these humongous. She would do all this from scratch. When I make biscuits, I get the Pillsbury Doughboy roll, and a friend of mine called whop-em-on-a-counter biscuits. Whop-em-on-the-counter biscuits, because you take the roll and you whop it on the counter, and it busts open, and you pull the biscuits out of there. That's what you do when you make something from scratch. You bring the ingredients yourself and mix it and make it and bake it and cook it yourself. We don't do a lot of that in America anymore. It's a shame. But here's, listen to this. Making designer jeans from scratch begins with, are you ready for this? Yeast. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out your can of King James. Where is my can? Here it is, right here. I want you to get out a can of fresh King James. Okay, we're going to do this from scratch, all right? We're going to do a study. Here it is, right here. We're going to do a study of what is the King James Version equivalent of the word yeast. What is that? So we get the software, we go to our space here, we sweep it with a besom of destruction, and we type in the word L-E-A-V-E-N. And we hit enter. And so here is in the Bible all of the occurrences of the word leaven. And I want you to notice that it's mentioned exactly 23 times in the King James Bible. 23. You know what? Let's do, before we read this article, because this is interesting. Let's chase this rabbit just for a minute, all right? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll show you what the number 23 represents and why I think this is when I'm reading this article, making designer jeans from scratch begins with yeast. I automatically in my head go, I know what this is. I get it. There's something going on here. This Bible, the words of the Lord are right. That Psalmist David said. I read that this morning. Romans chapter 1. Look in verse 29. Being filled with all, number 1, unrighteousness, 2, fornication, 3, wickedness, 4, covetousness, 5, maliciousness, 6, full of envy, 7, murder, 8, debate, 9, deceit, 10, malignity, 11, whisperers, 12, backbiters, 13, haters of God, 14, despiteful, 15, proud, 16, boasters, 17, inventors of evil things, 18, disobedient to parents, 19, without understanding, 20, covenant breakers, 21, without natural affection, 22, implacable, 23, unmerciful. Then the next verse, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. The number 23 is the number for death. Flip over in your Ta Biblia, your Bible, to the 23rd chapter of the Bible. Guess what that is? I'll give you a couple seconds. You're right. It's Genesis 23. Genesis 23. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and these were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. And the whole 23rd chapter of the Bible deals with the death and the burial of Sarah in the cave of Machpelah. What's in Psalm 23? Of course, my shepherd, I shall not mind. He makes me lie down in green pastures, beside still waters. He restores me to the day. Well, he advises the righteous for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does Romans 6:23 say? For the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. When you and your spouse create a child, you give him 23 chromosomes and your spouse gives him 23 chromosomes. And the two become one flesh. You've doomed that child from the moment of conception. That child is going to die because it's in the flesh. Now, watch this, okay? Let me read this article here. Now we get our bearings, okay? Leaven, yeast, death. And think of passages in the Bible that you just can kind of run through your head about leaven. A little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. Here's the article. Australia is to play a significant role in the quest for artificial life. Now, I've got to stop right here because I get it. Why Australia? Why does Australia get to be on the forefront of using yeast to generate artificial life and designer genes? Have you not ever had Vegemite? Vegemite is the awfulest, abhorrent, most abominable fluid in the entire universe. And they love it in Australia. Yeah, you got some Vegemite, oi! I met people from Australia at Civil War place. Out in, over there. I just drew a blank. Met him from Australia and I said, you like Vegemite? Oi! Oh yeah, we like Vegemite. I said, there's something wrong with you people. I've got a tube of Vegemite. And you know what it is? Yeast extract. And so the world's leading scientists were thinking about how can we design new genes. Let's see, we're going to need a lot of yeast. Where can we get a lot of yeast from? And then all of a sudden, we can get it from Australia. We've got tubes and big gallon buckets full of Vegemite. Australia is to play a significant role in the quest for artificial life as it joins an international project to create the world's first synthetic yeast. We can announce today, under the leadership of Jeff Beck from New York University, that it's called the Yeast 2.0 Project. That's interesting. It's a consortium of yeast laboratories in the United States, United Kingdom, China, Singapore, India, and now Australia. As they said, we can't leave Australia out. They're like the kings of yeast. Now aims to produce the first synthetic yeast by 2017. It marks a major breakthrough for Australian research in the field of synthetic biology, which takes science and technology into a new dimension. Think about that. We're in a dimension now. A dimension of sight and of sound. We're in the third dimension right now. Everything in our spatial universe is 3D. Whenever you got to read these things and understand the language. When they say that we're going to take this to a new level, a new dimension, is that just artistic prose? Is that just a way to, you know, spice up an article? Or does it mean that they are going to reach into a realm that you and I are not currently a part of? I tend to think the latter. I think there is a spirit that is working in the children of disobedience. And so anyway, they're going to take it to the new dimension, from the treatment of malaria to the production of environmentally friendly biofuels. Synthetic biologists are shifting the boundaries of science and technology to pioneer new life. Think about that. Let's do this. Let's take our King James Bibles again, and let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll give you a guess, if you can guess, what verse in 1 Peter that we're going to look at. What verse? Just take a la da 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 da. All right, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Think about that. When they say, the article says, they're going to pioneer new life. This technology is being worked on and built so that there can be a born again awakening in the world. They are going to take humanity to a new dimension. Humanity is about to be born again, but not of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. There is not a chance in the world that my Bible has one mistake in it. It can't have. It's impossible. For the real Word of God, if you say, I believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. If you say that, and then you follow that up by saying, but I don't believe any Bible translation right now is accurate. There's something wrong with you. You know what you are? You're a double-minded man. You're unstable in all your ways. But just read that again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It cannot die. It cannot. And the only thing that's keeping corruption from taking over me is that I'm still alive. The moment that I stop breathing and my heart stops pumping, corruption begins automatically. In 2010, the world witnessed a future-shaping breakthrough in reprogramming the natural, quote-unquote, software of bacteria. Researchers at Craig Venter Institute in the U.S. successfully transplanted an artificially constructed genome of Mycoplasma mycoides, all 1.1 million base pairs of its DNA, into a closely related bacteria cell, Mycoplasmum capricolum. This marked a world first, a synthetic genome designed by computer, giving life to another living being with no ancestor. Oh, my goodness. A living being with no ancestor. I got to do that again. Think about the spiritual ramifications of that. A being with no father, no mother, a brand new created life form that is totally and completely without any ancestor. That just, it boggles my mind. The potential for future advances in synthetic genomics seems endless, and the possibilities are revolutionary. It means it spins around and around and around like a revolution. Synthetic biology aims to build novel and artificial novel means new. Build novel and artificial biological parts such as genes and chromosomes. I started my day out yesterday studying chromosomes. And go look that word up. I won't tell you where I'm going. I have to do more study. And I had to put it away because I had to write this like script for the Watchman broadcast that I had to record today. That kind of got in the way. And I want to keep studying it because I'm just going, oh, I think there's something there and I know what it is, but I can't really talk about it right now. They're going to invent chromosomes. And I'm going to step out here. I'm going to go ahead and spill the beans. This, now understand, this is brand new to me and I don't like really to, I like to just get my thoughts and my ideas seasoned with enough Word of God to be able to make it gel and make it stick so that when I say it, I can give you like 27,000 scriptures to back it up, all right? That's what I like to do. That way, you're never wrong. You just keep quoting scripture and you're never wrong. The thought occurred to me. You know, the idea is that here's your DNA. And it's in it. It's in these containers called chromosomes. That's exactly what God told Moses to do with the scroll that he wrote out, which is where the law was. It's the book, in thy book. David said, in thy book, all my members were written. He was talking about DNA. So Moses took the book and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. So it's inside this container, this box, okay, this box called the Ark of the Covenant. And that ark is the throne of God. Well, here's Ezekiel, and he sees the throne. He's looking at the throne of God, and it's being supported by the four living creatures. Think of the four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Think about that. Think about how they want to add two more. So there's six instead of four. Think six, okay? So anyway, here's the four base pairs, the four living creatures, and here's the throne of God. And then there is one who sits on that throne. Not someone, you idiot. Whoever put that in there was either high, drunk, or a lesbian. One of the two, one of the three. And I'm talking about Revelation chapter 4, where John says, I saw the throne and one sat on the throne. I know who the one is. One sat on the throne. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The NIV that this guy says, oh, you got to read the NIV. That's where the shutters just opened up when I read that book. The NIV says someone sitting on it. That's insane. That's absolutely nonsense. By the way, that's the same book where Nebuchadnezzar was going, ooh, I think that fourth there in the furnace is like a son of the gods. Baloney. So I got to thinking about that. If there's a match there, the book inside of the ark, that's the throne, and there's one sitting on the throne, and then over the top of that, and sort of surrounding the throne, was a bow, a rainbow, and so I'm just sitting here going, I wonder, that rainbow I believe it. I believe that's what Ezekiel saw. I believe that's what they, and he said the rainbow was the glory of the Lord. I was going to do a little walkthrough on that today. The glory, type that in, study it on your own. After the show, wait till I'm done. The glory of the Lord. That's what that bow was. God said in Genesis 9, I do set my bow in the cloud. Whew. Man, I like this. I do set my bow in the cloud, and that's the token of the covenant that I made with you. The bow is Jesus, because when he comes, how is he coming? In the clouds. He's the bow in the cloud. He's the glory of the Lord in the cloud in Ezekiel, in Exodus 16. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Who is that glory of the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. Revelation 10, he's got a rainbow over his head. And I was going, there's got to be something in the human cell, in the nucleus, that is like a rainbow. So I just started looking. I started trying to educate myself a little bit. And it was actually easier than what I thought it was going to be. The word chromosome. Does anybody know what that is? Soma. If you've ever taken Soma, you know what it is. You know what it is? It's a full body muscle relaxer. Soma means body. You remember back in the 70s, you could go to the store and buy a camera. It was a Kodachrome. You know why it was called that? Because number one, Kodak made it. And number two, it was a full color camera. Chromos means colors. And the chromosomes are where the book is, the word. The word of your DNA is stored in the chromosomes, the color bodies. And I'm just going, that's just cool. Now go back. Now listen to this. They're going to start making their own rainbows. And I'm not talking about vacuum cleaners either. They're going to start making their own chromosomes. So, let's back up on this story here. The potential for future advances in synthetic genomics seems endless, and possibilities are revolutionary. Synthetic biology aims to build novel and artificial biological parts such as genes and rainbows. Chromosomes. Devices and systems that can then be used to fuel us, heal us, and feed us, as the UK science minister David Willetts said last year. New organisms can be custom built to perform specific tasks for a range of purposes, ranging from medical diagnostic tests to the detection of bugs in water supplies. Hey, waiter, come here. What's this fly doing in my water? Sir, it looks like the backstroke. The humble yeast. Listen to this now. Here's where we're going to get it interesting. The humble yeast, a single-celled fungus. Think leaven. Is vital to many of Australia's key industries like Foster's beer. Oi! And Vegemite. I just think this is hilarious. Of course they got to get Australia in. These people are the king of yeast. All right. Dry up the River Euphrates in preparation for the kings of the yeast. That's a... The humble yeast, a single-celled fungus, is vital to many of Australia's key industries. And are ideal for research because they are the most simple eukaryotic cells that are easily propagated and only survive in man-made environments such as laboratories. The ability to design and create synthetic yeast to order, which means, hey, how do you want your yeast? Well, let me tell you, I want it this, like this. That's what it means. The synthetic yeast to order so that it can perform specific tasks such as, changing the Bible. Stands to benefit a range of sectors from primary production to medical research. The Yeast 2.0 program. Boy, think about that. Is an ambitious project. Earlier this year, Professor Beck's laboratory announced it had synthesized the first functional chromosome in yeast. They've already started building the rainbow. Let me tell you, some of you who have studied symbols, Kathy Burns wrote a book on symbols. If you want a book on symbols, that's one I recommend. Now, I know that Kathy Burns, she was on, whose program is she on? I can't remember the guy. He's an old fellow from out in California. He was an old doctor. I met him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention several years ago. And he kind of talks like this. And he is welcome to our program today. I can't remember his name. Anyway, Kathy Burns does not believe that angels mated with human women. And she was pretty vocal about this. Somebody sent me that in order to try to correct me. And Kathy Burns says one thing, the Bible says the other, so let's see, Bible. But anyway, if you're looking for a book on symbols, Kathy Burns' book on symbols, let's see, it is right here. You can order this, Masonic and Occult Symbols, illustrated by Dr. Kathy Burns. She talks about the rainbow in here. The rainbow in Masonic ideology, in the occult ideology, it's related to the royal arch. Think about that, because that's what the Watchman broadcast is about next week, is the royal arch and the number 13. The rainbow is a bridge. It's a connecting point. Okay, you think of how stonemasons used to build arches. Okay, think about... in St. Louis, they have an arch is a gateway. Think of the opening to a cave. The opening to a cave is an arch, all right? The St. Louis Arch is the gateway arch. It's the gateway to the west. You have to cross a river. Rivers have their own symbolism. But you go through this arch, and every year they have July 4th, they have this big festival, and some guy tries to fly through the arch, which is illegal. But anyway, that's symbolism. When they built the St. Louis Arch, it was built on like a catenary principle. If you take a chain and hold it upside down, that's the shape of the arch, okay? And as they were building this arch, they were putting, you know, they were working two sides at the same time. And it got to a certain point where the arch is leaning in, and if they don't brace it, then it'll fall in on itself because it's not done. The design's not ready yet. So what they did was they put a steel girder, a set of girders across the span of the bridge. I'm just giving you a little fluff knowledge here that I know about this thing, to support it while they added the top pieces. Then when it got to the keystone of the arch, the final center piece, they had to, the dimensions were off, and there was several reasons for that. Number one, because of the sun was heating up the arch. And the metal was expanding, so it was closer than it needed to be. So when they got ready to lay the keystone of the arch, they poured massive amounts of water flowing down the sides of the arch to cool it so that it would shrink back. And then they took a jack, some kind of jack mechanism, and they spread it apart just enough to drop that center piece in. And then when they got it all closed and welded in place, they let it go. And it stayed just like that. Why? Because the arch, it's a very, very unique, it's a neat concept. It's those who understand engineering get it. The idea of an arch, the arch has strength that just a platform like this doesn't have. I mean, it's just really neat. But anyway, in order to connect the two ends of a rainbow or an arch, you got to have the keystone. So think of what the rainbow represents. In Masonic ideology, the rainbow represents it comes from heaven and goes to the earth. It's the connection between the celestial world and the terrestrial world. So think about that. Genesis chapter 6, Daniel chapter 2, and all these things we've been looking at. This is where we're going with this. This is what's happening. And so anyway, let me read. Let's do this. Let's go to the scriptures. Okay. Let's go to the scriptures and let's look at the occurrences of the word leaven in the King James Bible. Exodus 12:15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, why is it that God was so adamant about you not eating Meemaw's yeast rolls for supper? Because of what leaven represent. And I know for a fact that God knew the prophetic significance of yeast, of leaven. He knew when he gave Moses this law that they would be working on yeast, leaven, in the last days in order to do something that bridges the gap between, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the celestial bodies and the bodies terrestrial. The rainbow bridges the gap here. Exodus 12:19, he says it again. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Exodus 13:7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there should no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Exodus 34:25, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. That's why Jesus was the absolute sinless Son of God. He had no transgressions in him. No leaven whatsoever did Jesus have. He was offered as the pure, unleavened sacrifice of God. Somebody, amen. Somebody say amen. Leviticus 2:11, no meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. No leaven. By the way, how do they make beer? How does Anheuser-Busch up in St. Louis make beer? How do they make wine? How do they make vodka? How do they make tequila? How do they make sake? You got to add leaven. The leaven has got to eat the sugar that's in the grapes or in the potatoes or the cactus down in Mexico or the rice. Rice has a lot of sugar. I am forbidden to eat rice anymore, maybe in just little tiny amounts, because even fried rice. I had fried rice the other night with my Mugu Gai Pan, which is a low-carb Chinese dish, and I like it. But I decided to have a little rice with it, and my blood sugar went spiked up. So the yeast eats the sugar that's in the material, like the potato or the rice or the grape. And then as it dies, it converts that sugar to ethyl alcohol. Did I say that right? It converts it to alcohol. That's where the alcohol comes from. In your wine, in your beer, in your sake, or your brandy, or whatever it is that you're drinking. That's where it comes from. It comes from leaven. It comes from corruption. Leaven, it's 23 times in the Bible. That's the number for death. And does that mean anything? Absolutely. We're studying leaven. We see it's a type of sin. It's a type of the corruption of the flesh. And God said, I don't want it. I don't want it in the bread. I don't want it in the sacrifices. Don't put it in your drinks. Leviticus 10:12, Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. God said leaven is unholy. Leviticus 23:17, you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O children of Israel, saith the Lord. Now look at this. Matthew 13:33. By the way, add those two numbers together. 13 and 33. 46. It's the number of chromosomes where the leaven's not supposed to be. Another parable he spake unto them. Now listen to this. Listen to this. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. And when God says the kingdom of heaven, I know it's simple. The kingdom of heaven is God's working throughout the affairs of the universe, okay? It is God working in this world. He's working everything. Look at what he's not saying that this is a good thing because it's of the kingdom of heaven. This is how God is working. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman, think of what a woman represents in the Bible. She is either a virtuous woman, the pure church. She is the who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31. She is the glorious church. She is without spot or wrinkle. That's what one of the women represents. Another woman represent churches. There is a harlot woman, a strange woman, Jezebel, Herodias, Delilah. That's the other woman. This woman here takes leaven and hides it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And you understand this concept. If those of you have ever made bread, you've never ever made yeast rolls, you've ever had biscuits, rye, or whatever, you take your dough, you knead your dough, you knead that dough, and then you put a packet of Fleischmann's yeast in there. And then what do? Do you put it in the fridge?
No!
You put it in a warm place. My dad got to where he was baking bread there for a while. It was amazing. And he would always put it in the pan, lay a towel over the top of it so it wouldn't dry out, and he would wait. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for the yeast in there to eat whatever sugars was in that wheat, die off, and release this gas inside of this bread and make this bread big, make it puffy. That's why bread has all these, looks like Swiss cheese, has those little holes in it. That's what yeast does. And this woman took leaven. Let me present something to you. And I know I've probably talked about this before. Let's look at this. The woman took leaven. She hid it in three measures of meal. And she's waiting until the whole was leavened. Now watch this, okay? Here's what I think. I may be wrong. Here's what I think. Let's go back up to Genesis. That's Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, right here, starting right here, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Right there are words that the devil spoke. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You big liar. You serpent, you liar. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now watch this. The devil injected, and you count this in your King James Bible, 46 words exactly that he spoke to her. He injected his words into her like a snake would inject venom. And we know from Deuteronomy 32 that the wine of Sodom, the vine of Sodom, has the poison of serpents in it. And so here is the devil poisoning Eve with his words. What did it do? And it says three measures of meal. We go back to that verse, Matthew 13:33, 13 plus 33. By the way, if you look at the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C., it has 33 columns around the bottom and 13 rows of stairs at the top. 46, exactly. And they call that the temple. It is. It's a temple. And by the way, Manly Hall explains it this way. Albert Pike talked about it in Morals and Dogma. The 33 columns represent the earthly body, the terrestrial body. And the 13 steps of the pyramid represent the celestial body, and they're fused together in the same temple. Anyway, so watch this. Three measures of meal. So when Eve hears the words of the serpent, when she sees the poison, the venom, what does that cause her to do? She then looks at the tree and she sees lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Three measures right there. I think that the three measures of meal, where the leaven is hid, are the sins of mankind. And one of these days, this leavened bread called the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to be fully leavened. I think that there's going to come a time when the sins of mankind are going to reach that puffed up level like a leavened loaf of bread, and God's going to say, it's time. Turn the ovens on, guys. We're ready. You think about that, because when we study leaven everywhere else in the scriptures, we find out what it's related to. Matthew 16:6, very next place the word leaven is found. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Why reason ye? You know how you get to be of little faith? You read little Bible. That's why you have little faith. If you want bigger faith, read bigger Bible. Read more of it. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have bought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? He's telling them, he said, what, you think it bothers me that we're out of bread? You remember when the boy had, 5 loaves and 2 fishes and we fed like 5,000 people, had 12 baskets left over? Do you not remember that, you knuckleheads? I'm not talking about bread. What is he talking about? Look at this. Verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Leaven is false doctrine. What did the devil say to Eve? God gave Adam his doctrine, his instruction. That's what the word doctrine means. His instructions, his law, his word. He gave to Adam 39 words there. Go count them. Adam, this is my doctrine. The devil comes in with the wine of Sodom, the poison of asps, and he teaches false doctrine to Eve. Now, she's the mystery harlot. She is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She needs to be redeemed because she went and did what God told her not to do. She sinned. And now everyone that is born of Eve automatically inherits, could we call it the sin gene? Maybe, I don't know. But we are inheritors of Eve and her sinfulness and Adam's as well. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ. By the way, the Bible will teach you that when Adam sinned, you were there. Yeah, you were there.
Well, I don't remember that.
You were in Adam's belly. You were in his loins. The Bible teaches us that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. And at the time, Levi was simply in the loins of Abraham. But he was there. Where did he come from? Came from Abraham. Where did we come from? We came from Adam. Adam was carrying us around when he sinned. So therefore, we are all... I read something. Some guy... Oh, I don't believe that we're born into sin. I believe that we choose to sin later. Then you don't believe the Bible. Anyway, let's see here. Matthew 16:12, Mark 8:15. Take heed, ye beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And he teaches them the same thing. So he says in verse 20-21, he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Luke 12:1. He says it here. In the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another. And he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Whew. Are there hypocrites in the church? You know, most lost people are right about that one. Well, I don't go to that church. There's a bunch of hypocrites in there. And you know what? They're probably right. Look at this. He says the same thing again. Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? By the way, the kingdom of God, some of you are going to send me an email and hate my guts. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, same thing. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I think that that is the man of sin right there. Right now he's hid in the meal where the three measures are. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Look at this. Let's see here. Let's go back to verse 5. Let's walk circumspectly around this. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, you ask me if I kept Passover all the time. I keep it all the time. Christ is our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So sincerity and truth, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is your Bible. The leaven of malice and wickedness are the words that Satan spoke. It's false doctrine. It's a representation of sin. Galatians 5:9. Let's go look circumspectly. This is the 23rd occurrence. Paul said in Galatians 5:7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. What is that in the context of? He said, for I testify again to every man. This is verse 3, the same chapter. This is the circumspect. This is the circle that verse is in. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Did you hear that, all you Hebrew roots people? You're bragging about how you keep part of the law. Really? That's like being on the assembly line at McDonald's and bragging that you made half the hamburger. So the guy in the drive-thru gets this box. He thinks his Big Mac is in there. When he pulls off, gets 10 miles down the road, he opens it up, bites into it, realizes that all it is just three pieces of bread with special sauce. Some nitwit at McDonald's forgot to put the hamburger patties in it. And you bragged. You said, yeah, but we got it to him in record time. Woo, high five, yeah. But you didn't do the whole thing. He said, if you're going to keep part of the law and rely upon that to please God, you better be ready to do the whole law, which it's already too late. You've already broken it. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And by the way, I'll say this to all the people who believe that the Jews are going to be saved by keeping the law and by works, and they're going to keep their salvation if they do enough. That's a lie. That's a different gospel. It's another gospel. It's a false one. And it's got like curses all over it. So here, just think about it. To these scientists, the key to rewriting the genome of mankind, making a rainbow bridge between us and the celestial kingdom. That sounds like Mormonism, doesn't it? That the key to that is leaven. Let's experiment with leaven, even though the Bible says stay away from it, it's bad. Let's mingle false doctrine in with the human genome. And let's just see what monster we create. You know, I'm in the mood to read emails. Let's see what everybody's got on their mind here. Let me go down here. Let's start right here. David. David says, hello, PM. This email is unrelated to the broadcast. My top secret clearance isn't working, and I haven't updated my email from the one on file. Not sure how else to inform someone because I cannot log in. David, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to forward your email to somebody that might have a clue. Hang on here. There. See if they can answer it for you. All right. David, appreciate your writing in here. Bruce sends email, says, dear Pastor, saw the CERN Collider video. Do you think they're trying to open a Stargate? Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. I heard when they turned it on last time, they lost control and people said they saw giants. I don't think, you know what? Bruce, I could make that story up. I could probably make it up better than whoever made that one up. I could make that story up, plant it out in some websites, put it on Facebook, make it like an exclusive behind-the-scenes insider information YouTube video, and people would go nuts over it. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. They turned it on, lost control, and people said they saw giants. They turned it on again in 2015 with twice the power. Bruce, I mean, I believe in giants. I know what CERN is practicing, circle maker witchcraft. No doubt in my mind about it. I think that they are trying to unlock something. No doubt in my mind. I don't give much credence to these internet rumors. It is too easy for somebody to make up undocumented, unprovable stuff and spread it out there. I mentioned at the beginning today that I listened to a lot of sermons on prophecy when I was young. One preacher I was listening to said, this was in 1980. He said, a woman in California received her Social Security check. And instead of getting the check, she got a notification from the Social Security office that said, before you can get your check, you must show proof of your 666 identity mark on your right hand, or we can't give you your check. And the woman was stunned. She goes to the Social Security office and says, I got this in the mail. And the person says, oh, that was we're sorry about that. That was a big mistake on somebody's part. You're not supposed to get that until 1982. And I believed it. And it never happened. That was before the internet. Never happened. So, Bruce, my recommendation to you is, if it's on the internet, just think the first thing you think of, this has got to be a big, bold-faced lie. First, think that first. And then see if it's true or not. But too many people say, oh, look at that. They saw giants. I'm going to put that on my Facebook page and pass it around to everybody. And then all of a sudden, it's not true. was like when you've put out all those Mayan prophecy things, and you put out all the Comet Ison things, and you put out all the dates, and you put out all the blood moon stuff, and all the, and everybody who gets your emails and your Facebook postings are going, oh my goodness, not again. And you try to witness to them about Jesus, and they go, ha, 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 very funny. Yeah, you mean the Jesus that's coming on the comet? You mean that one? They're not going to believe a word you say. Bruce, I love you. I'm not being mean to you, all right? I'm just, that doesn't sound true to me. It does not sound right to me, all right? Glenn, how you doing, Glenn? Says, hi, Pastor Mike. You left the topic suddenly. What did you discover when you looked into geocentrism? I discovered, let me just quote scripture. Sun, stand thou still. That's what I found. Moon, be still. Joshua commanded the sun to stop moving. Read Psalm 19 and ask yourself, what is it that goes in a circle in Psalm 19? That's what I believe. I have to. I have to believe. I have to believe the Word of God. I don't. Do I want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Do you believe the Word of God? Yeah, I believe the Word of God. Do you believe the sun stood still? Yeah, I do. I believe the sun stood still. JD from NC. Pastor Mike, I tried to go to your Facebook page and it said, sorry, the link is broken or has been removed. I don't think so. I'm let's see. Facebook. I know that if you are not friends with me on Facebook and you want to become friends with me on Facebook, you have exactly 500 friends left, because my friend list is at 4,500, and I'm there on my Facebook page right now, facebook.com/ Michael W. Hoggard. And if you're going to send me a friend request, you better do it in a hurry, because I'm running out of friends. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. But anyway, so that's that here. Let's see here. Kim says, hi, Pastor Mike. Does it matter to you that lecherous adulterer Hal Lindsey has been divorced 3 times and married 4 times? Because it sure does me. This is Kim. And let's see here. Church elder, janitor, and minister of maintenance. I clean up the dirty. I fix the broken and help keep law and order in our church congregation and building. Kim, you would like to have been back in the old pilgrim days of early America. I'm talking the 1600s. When the pilgrims came over and built these villages and then built a church, they had guys patrol the streets on Sunday morning to make sure that nobody had their shop open on Sunday. And then they had a guy sitting in the church with a stick, a big rod, big pole, had a feather on one end and the nail on the other. And this is in the days when people didn't have to get home and watch football after church on Sunday. So when they went to church, they heard a 3.5-hour sermon and liked it. And the guy sitting in that church, this would be you, if he saw a man falling asleep during the service, he would take that stick and poke him with a nail on it, wake him up. If they saw a lady bobbing her adorned head in the house of God, take the feather and run it up under her face and tickle her and wake her up. Anyway, appreciate you sending that in. Anthony says, Brother Mike, Maya Angelou died here in North Carolina. She indeed was a Beyonce Knowles of early 20th century. Her name has Hindu goddess angel referenced in it. All day Wednesday, one of her many quotes was plastered across news, both local and national. The quote is, "Listen to yourself, and in that quietude, you might hear the voice of God." I don't think so. I don't care what everybody says nice things about her. She said that she was wrong. Just had to share it with you. No one else would understand. Keep up the good fight. I appreciate that. I'll probably have fight with somebody just for saying that. All right. Let's see here. Chris says, "I just finished listening to your last broadcast. Last Tuesday, I wanted to post a message to your question at the start on your show, but wasn't able to. To my amazement, I heard my own unspoken question biblically answered, which is the last portion of the show about the so-called gospel for Jews and Gentiles. I kept reading in Hebrews of godly men and prophets in the Old Testament and did according to faith and not because they followed the law." Amen. 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 "It was hard for me to understand and accept the doctrine pertaining to gospel for Jews that they were saved by following the law because of this passage. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all. Anyway, I don't want to take most of your time. I just wanted to write to proclaim that the Almighty God is great, for he showed me biblical truth. Though I kept the question to myself." Amen, Chris. I appreciate that. I love God's people. I love all you preachers. I want to be your friend. I want to get along. I do. You say you stand for the King James Bible? Woohoo! All right. Amen. Way to go. But then you try to tell me there's two gospels. And me and that don't jive. We don't get along from that point forward. There is no other gospel than the one gospel of the whole Bible, whole thing. Abraham wasn't saved by works. Moses wasn't saved by works. The Israelites in the wilderness were not saved by works. Enoch was not saved by works. Abraham was not saved. Sarah was not saved by works. Rahab the harlot was not saved by works. Noah was not saved by works. It's by faith and by grace. Because before he built the ark, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah believed God to the saving of his house. And we are not saved by works, but saved by grace. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. The ark that Noah built was not... how can I say this? It wasn't those works that saved him. He was already saved, and God worked through him. Christ worked through him and built that ark through him. That's what the Bible says. And I get emails. I get people. Hey, we get phone calls. Gary takes most of them. And most of them are from former friends of his that he ran with that went to Ruckman's church, went to these different Bible institutes, was taught Clarence Larkin dispensationalism, and told, this is what you have to believe. You better believe this right here. And here's Clarence Larkin teaching us that he believes the Great Pyramid with the unfinished capstone is really the church in Jesus Christ, because really the Bible didn't mean capstone. It was a poor translation in the word in the King James Bible where it says chief cornerstone. In fact, I got something for you here. I was going to, how much time do I have? I don't know. Let me read a verse here that proves that the cornerstone that Jesus is not at the top of the pyramid. What is wrong with you? That's the eye of Horus up there. That's not Jesus Christ and his one eye. It's not Odin that's up there. It's not one of the Titans with their Cyclops head. That's not who it is. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the foundation, not the capstone, Mr. Larkin, of the top of the pyramid. Ephesians 2:20. We are built upon the foundation of only the Apostle Paul. Nope. Doesn't say that. We are built upon the foundation of the Apostle, only Paul. Nope, doesn't say that either. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles, plural, and prophets, plural. The prophets were the Old Testament, the apostles were the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone of what? The foundation. Not the top of the pagan pyramid. You better believe Larkin now. He quotes from the Revised Version because King James don't say what he wants it to say, but we only believe the King James Bible. There's something wrong with that. There's something that just, I don't know, it's like sweet and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. That's what it is. Two Gospels. Anyway, Myrna! How you doing? Pastor, can you please post that article on our group, the one with no... You know what? Hang on here. I gotta find it. How about, Myrna, if I... how about if I post it in the Pastor Mike Online Facebook page, and then you go like it, whether you like it or not. You like it and share it, and you can put, I'll have to find it. That shouldn't be too hard. I think I have it in my Evernotes. So as soon as the broadcast is over, I'll try to remember to do that. All right. Let's see here. Jim, love the sound effects, Pastor Mike. Thank you, Jim. Let's see here. James, Pastor Mike, type into Google Obama's rainbow sticker and Obama rainbow halo, and you get to see the new American chromosome. Ooh, I'll do that in a little bit. All right. Thank you, James. This is Craig. How you doing, Craig? Greetings, Pastor Mike. It's uncanny that you would mention Gateway today. Yesterday, I hit upon a nugget. Was you playing golf with nuggets? I hit upon a nugget after watching a video by Maurice Osborne about crop circles. It's very informative, but a bit monotone. What caught my attention was the most was the word conduit at the end. The attachment has what I've seen so far, a link to the video and a few pictures. I would like to know if you think I'm on something. Oh, no, on to something. Okay, I read that wrong. On something. Yeah, I think you're on something. Let's see here. I got it pulled up here. I'll be honest with you. I am not a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool crop circle guy. I'm just not. Maybe I'm just not there yet. Okay, so I'll look at it. I don't know what's up with crop circles. I don't know where they come from. Okay, I just know there's a lot of speculation on the internet, and people say, "Look, a crop circle." Okay, so I'll look at what you have. All right. Let's see here. Don. Wow, that's a big email. I'll wait on that one, Don. All right. JD from NC. Pastor Mike just tried it again and got the same. No wonder. JD is trying to access the Pastor Mick Online Facebook page. I'm not kidding you. It's Pastor Mike Online, it's right here, www.facebook.com, Pastor Mike, there's the E right there, online, all right? Try that and let me know if it works, okay? Let's see here. David says, salvation over to the Jews first, then to us, like you said. Amen, David. Hello, PM. This is from Thomas. I pray all is well. I watched your WVB About Time recently, the one where you used a cord to loop their idea of what they want to do with time itself. You said the Antichrist would have time in his hands or something to that effect. The Bible said that it would that he shall seek to change times and laws, and it shall be given into his hands. I think it's what the King James says. Well, that reminded me of a movie called Donnie Darko. I haven't heard of that one. It's a really weird movie. It can't be any weirder than The Gods Are Crazy. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, okay? Anyway, I just wondered if you'd ever seen it, and if so, what are you? I've never seen it before. I think there's something in that movie they are trying to tell us. Just had to share that. You know what? I'm going to put that in my notes, all right? Matt! How you doing, Matt? He wants to add me to a professional network. Matt, I love you. I've had invitations for a lot of these different things, and don't anybody take it personally. I just don't have any more time left to join these different groups, and so I just don't. I have been hooked into some 100 plus groups on Facebook. People just add me, and I don't participate. I just don't have time for it. I'm not trying to be rude or anything. I just don't have the time for it. Like I say, I'm about to run out of friends on Facebook. It's going to reach 5,000 here and before too long. And do I converse with all these people? There's no way I have time. And I wish that it was when we first started this ministry and it was just me. Man, I responded to everybody's email, and I did that for years until it got way bigger than what I could handle. It was kind of like Moses, and so I had to start divvying that out. So, Matt, I appreciate the invite, but I just can't do it. Jim just sent me a friend request on Facebook. All right, I'll get to that in a little bit, Jim. Karen says, Dear Pastor Mike, there are a lot of fables out there on the internet. It is very difficult to talk to people who think the Bible is a fable. When I debate people with the KJV verses online, the Bible always stands in the end. Some people ask me to use my own words. That is when I know they cannot stand against God's word and would rather take me on without my... Karen, I get it. I get it. I've had people ask me questions on Facebook or on this broadcast or in an email. Pastor Mike, are you saying that you believe in suchity such and blahdity blah? What is it? What do you believe on the rapture? When is the rapture going to happen? So I copy and paste 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I copy that. I paste it in the response. I send it to them. And it makes them mad. Makes them angry. You're dodging the question. Why don't you answer my question? Are you a coward? Are you trying to hide something? Well, no, I'm not trying to hide anything. I just gave you the scripture. Well, that's not good enough for me. And Karen, there's something wrong with somebody who will not accept an answer from scriptures. Something wrong with that. I don't know what spirit that is, but it's not right. And you're right. When you answer with scripture, I've had people ask me as their pastor, somewhere in the world, Pastor, I got a problem. Somebody told me this, and I don't know. I'm confused. Can you help me? And I'll sit there and look at it, and Lord, give me some scriptures here. And the Holy Spirit's always willing, gives me scripture, and I'll copy and paste scriptures, and I'll always write in there, I hope this helps. Send them the scriptures, and they write back and say, oh, duh, there it is right there. There's the answer right there. Pastor, thank you. And I'm going, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I just God is the one who said it. And they love those kind of answers. God's people love it when they ask a question and somebody gives them scripture and they go, oh, that just makes all the sense in the world. Thank you. But Karen, there are people out there. They're trying to trip you up by making everybody and you think that you're ignorant and stupid and unlearned and you can't speak the Deutsch that they're speaking. They think that they can nail you on words that they know that nobody else knows. It's like these non-King James people, are you saying you believe in double inspiration? And I'm just going, where does that come from? What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? And so I don't answer that one. Do you believe in double inspiration? I don't answer it. I just give them scripture. For the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's what I send to them. And they go, you're dodging the question. It's a stupid question. And I'm not answering it. And if they send you stupid questions like that, and you find that you cannot, they've worded it in such a way is that it would be impossible for you to answer with scripture, don't answer it. Because if you do, they're going to say, aha, I gotcha, aha. It's like the question, have you stopped beating your wife? See, you beat your wife, don't you? So if you can't answer a scripture, don't answer. Let me finish reading here. Some people ask me to use my own words, and that is when I know they cannot stand against God's word and would rather take me on without my shield. Boy, I like the way you wrote that. The Bible truly never fails. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And Karen, I thank you for writing that, because that is an encouragement to me. But it's an encouragement to everybody else, because we live in a socially networked world. We live in a world where, back in the days of Little House on the Prairie, back in the 1800s, a man could raise his children according to his religious beliefs alone. Hopefully they were from the Bible. Knowing that it would be probably 40 years before anybody ever contested that in his children's mind. Simply because they lived, well, back in these days, if you lived 5 miles out of town, it took 2 weeks to get into town, 2 weeks back. But we don't live in that world anymore. We live in a socially connected world where people of every garbage doctrine and mindset in the world is out there. And they are lurking. You know some of these Facebook people, some of these social network people who are just waiting for you to show up. And since they don't like waiting, they'll just get in your face anyway. They'll friend you. They'll send you a friend request, and then the moment you do, they come out after you. We had a woman, a pastor's wife, that somebody led into a private group. And the person that led him in, he didn't think there would be any problem in the world with his pastor's wife getting involved. And she got in there, and the second she got in, she started in on me behind my back to everybody in that group. I mean, the second she got in. And it was a long day for people that were trying to defend me, and I just couldn't believe it. And but they're out there. And they're trying to trip you, just like they did with Jesus. They were always trying to trip him up. Okay, Jesus, since you think you're so smart about the law, we're the lawyers. Which is the greatest commandment? And it didn't matter what he said. If he would have said, thou shalt not kill, they'll say, yeah, but what about this one? Doesn't matter what he said. They were going to try to nail him as being wrong. They were just waiting for him to answer. And whatever he answered on, they were going to contradict him. So he said, well, let me tell you what the greatest commandment is. There's two of them, actually. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. On these two do hang all the law and prophets. And they went, he's a heretic! Let's kill him! That's what they did. They couldn't answer. And that's what Jesus told us to do. He said, don't think about what you're going to say. He said, the Spirit will give you words, and when you say it, they'll be going, blasphemer! They won't like it because you didn't play their game. You answered with Scripture. And I'm just telling you, you answer with Scripture, you're never going to be wrong. So I appreciate you encouraged everybody listening, Karen, to do likewise. You give them Scripture, and God's people will say, you know what, thank you for saying, you know, I never thought about that. I believe the Bible, that's a good verse. You know, I'm going to go study this. That's God's people. The other people are going, he's dodging the question. He don't give a straight answer. That's a sign of a wolf in sheep. All he does is answer with Scripture. That's a sign of a wolf in sheep's clothing right there. Really? Really? Donnie, I remember you saying one time that in the Bible it talks about the certain sound of the King James Bible, that the other versions which leave out and take away words. Will you talk on that? I hate when I'm memorizing King James Version and other pastors with a good message use the watered-down versions. Oh, Dory. I'm sorry. This is not Donnie. That's Dory. I apologize. Dory. Dory's a girl, right? Donnie's not a girl. Donnie's a guy. Dory's a girl. Dory. Let me give you some advice to help you with something you said. Okay, this is friend to friend, and you wrote it to me as a friend, and I'm not chastising you. You're memorizing King James verses, and I'm awesome. Keep it up, okay? But you're listening to other pastors who are not using the King James. And here's what you just told me. You just told me that your spirit with the King James Version Bible is in contention with the sermons that are coming out. That's what you just told me. That in itself should speak volumes to you. Because the spirit behind the NIV, where Jesus is a son of the gods, and Jesus, the morning star, fell from heaven, and Jesus is not God in the flesh, that's the spirit of Antichrist. These sermons from these other versions of the Bible, they're not good sermons, because there is a lack of the Holy Spirit in them. And just what you told me. I hate when I'm memorizing KJV and other pastors with a good message use the watered-down versions. What you're telling me is there's a conflict going on, and you don't like it. There is an easy remedy to this. Stop listening to their sermons. Put them away. Stop listening to them. Because at some point, you're going to have to choose sides. And you're going to have to say, you know what? And don't do it. Dory, don't do it because Mike Hoggard recommended it to you. Don't do it for that reason. Because if you do it because I said something, then these other guys will say something else that might make sense to you, and you'll just go back the other way. You seek God on this. You let the Holy Ghost lead you in this. But what I would do is quit listening. I used to listen to St. Louis Christian radio station all the time. When I'd work as a painter, I'd work in these subdivisions. I'd be kind of by myself working, painting posts, painting doors, painting trim, painting walls. If I could, I would have a little portable FM radio player somewhere, and I'd have headphones on. I was listening to Chuck Smith, and I was listening to Charles Swindoll, and I was listening to Steve Brown, and I was listening to all these guys back in the 90s. Thinking, man, these guys, boy, they're pumping me up, man. They're pumping me up, man. And I didn't know I was just getting like cotton candy. That's all I was getting. And I don't listen. I don't listen to them. I don't play Christian radio. There's Christian radio stations here in St. Louis area. I don't listen to them. I can peruse sermon audio, and I just don't listen to everybody else. There's a few guys that I listen to because I know where they stand. And even if I might have disagreed on something they said, I'm going to go to the scriptures. I know they believe the scriptures. And so here's what I meant by that. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And you stop and think about that. If you anybody that has an animal, whether it's sheep, goats, cows, pigs, or dogs especially. Dogs know their master's voice. My dog knows when Sweetie Pie and I pulled into the driveway. She's there. We keep her there in the kitchen. And she doesn't bark and howl and carry on, except she's going, "Oh, I gotta go. I gotta let me out. I gotta go to the bathroom. Hurry up. Let me open up the door." That's what she does. But I guarantee you, at 9:30 at night, if someone taps our front porch, she's all over that, Jack. I mean, she is barking and howling. And you know, that's why we keep her around. That's what she's good for. I expect that sometime, 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody might just try something that will turn out to be eternally stupid for them and try to walk up on my front porch. And I have a security alarm. Her name is Layla. And Layla will go, "Arr!" And then the SWAT team of the Hoggard House is going to go into action. Yes, we will be rolling down the hall, standing, you know, behind furniture. And anyway, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And see, what's happening with you, Dory, is that you're trying to listen to another shepherd. And that spirit that's in you is telling you, it's not right. Dory, it's not right. Dory, you probably can't perceive what they're trying to do, what seed they're trying to implant in you. But Dory, it's not right. So Dory, when you're listening to these sermons and they're reading scripture, and you don't hear them say, "runneth and saith and thee and thine and thou and hopeth." You don't hear them say that. Turn it off. And if you just need something spiritual, get your Bible out and read it. Or you can send us an email or call us, and we'll send you a copy of the entire King James Bible read on MP3 format. That's what I recommend you do. Okay, Dory? I hope that helps you out. All right? Jay Vega says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. Thank you for your messages and faithfulness to the KJV Bible. God bless you and your family. Appreciate that." Bev says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. Really enjoyed today's show. If leaven is so bad and represents sin, what about the yeast in bread pizza? Although your Meemaw's biscuits sounded, they are. Don't you say nothing about my Meemaw's biscuits now, I'm telling you. Do you think all of the obesity issues and gluttony could be a result of our need to satisfy our lust? God bless you and your family." Let me just say this. God never said that it was a sin to eat leavened bread. There were times when they could not do it because of the prophecy behind it, because of the symbolism behind it. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. But there's nothing in itself wicked or wrong because we eat hamburger buns and bread that's rising up and so on. There's nothing inherently sinful about that. So do you think all of the obesity issues and gluttony could be a result of our need to satisfy our lust? Well, there's no doubt in my mind about it. When anybody decides to go on a low carbohydrate diet for the first, or no carbohydrate diet like the Atkins diet, which I've done, for the first 2 weeks, you would eat the sheets off the bed just to have something that felt like it was filling your stomach. I'm not kidding you. I have other reasons why I think Americans are so fat. Number one, because food is our God in this country. And if you look back at advertisements and news footage from like the 1950s and look at what the American consumer was eating at the restaurant and the portion sizes that they got then compared to the portion sizes we get now, you'll notice a difference. Number two, we don't work the way we used to in this country. Number three, just about everything we put in our face in this country has been altered chemically or genetically somehow, some way. When we went to Kenya, they ate a lot of chicken in Kenya, a lot of chicken and a lot of corn. Okay. So they're just like American country folks. It's just a different country. They're upside down. Okay. But anyway, they eat chicken, and I noticed the chickens. When you go to Kinchick Inn, which is this place is amazing. I saw this online, and I told my son-in-law, when we go to Kenya, I got to go to Kinchick. You go in Kinchick, and you order a chicken portion. They rotisserie the chicken, spinning around and around and around with all those spices and all that juice in there and everything like that. And when you order the chicken, they cut off the piece that you ordered, take it right out of the rotisserie, cut it off, drop it in a fryer for about 3 minutes, and fry that puppy. Makes it all crispy around the edges. And then they pull that out and put that on newspaper and throw some chips in there, which is big potato wedges. Put a little salt on it and hand it to you. And you're just going, oh, this is good. But the chickens in Kenya, they're not nowhere near as big as Tyson chickens. And I hang around with a bunch of those Arkansas people that grow Tyson chickens. And Tyson has a ton of things that these people have to do in order for him to buy their chickens. And those chickens are huge. And the Kenyan chickens are little scrawny things. So there's other reasons, I think. Anne says, hi, Pastor Mike. I think you're right on about the leaven. Well, thank you very much, Anne. Appreciate that. The parable about leaven, because tares are spoken of by Jesus right after the scripture about leaven. Do you think they are both about the same thing? Yay! Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 13. The field is the world. And by the way, this chapter, Matthew 13, is going to come up in a future Watchman broadcast, all right? Be ready for it, because I'm dealing with the number 13. It's the 13th chapter of the New Testament. It has meaning. Go read Matthew 13. You'll see a consistent theme all throughout there. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his... Anyway, here's the thing. The parable was, a man went out and sowed his field with good seed. His enemy came in right after that and sowed tares in amongst it. That seed of tares represents the corruptible seed that people are going to be born again by. And so anyway, but they're amongst us right now. It's in us right now. This flesh has tares in it. It's got thorns in it. And it's automatic. It is automatic. You go out, plow up any field, order some dirt in, get some good fertile dirt, and make you a garden, and plant all your good stuff in there, and then think, well, I paid a lot of money for this dirt. I won't grow any weeds. They'll come up, buddy. They'll come up, and they'll be all over the place. You know why? Because they're automatic. That's why sin is automatic in us. And so this flesh body that my soul is inhabiting and that the hidden inward man is living in right now, this flesh is of the wicked one. And I got proof, okay? I got proof that it's of the wicked one. You know what my proof is? Get with me, and we're going to go to camp here in a couple of weeks down in Arkansas. And when I wake up first thing in the morning, Dave Bradley, get ready. When I wake up the first thing in the morning, I will come over to your bed and breathe on you. And you'll go, oh, Hoggard, you got the wicked one. Woo! Everything that is this flesh stinks. That's why it's got to rot off. Got to get rid of it. And appreciate you bringing that up. Let's see here. Don. Hi, Pastor Mike, my wife, and, oh, no, here, this one. Hi, yeah, dear Pastor Mike, you're most welcome, and to God Almighty be the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see here. K-I-E-R-O-N. Chiron. Or Karen. I don't know. You're from the UK. So maybe, I don't know. Anyway, UK. Can you explain what a denomination is and its purpose? A denomination is like, if you have money and it's in fives, tens, twenties, or fifties, or hundreds, that's what a denomination. No, I'm just, that was a bad one. Denominations are different parts and different members of the same body. Now, we all see through a glass darkly. Everybody does. There isn't one soul or one person who has all the truth. That wasn't even in the case in the apostles. The apostles, if you look at John's writing versus Paul's writing versus Peter's writing versus James versus Jude versus Matthew, you'll see differences in their writing and you'll see differences in the topics that they talked about. That's because the Holy Ghost was giving to them severally. He was severing his doctrines and give a little piece here. Why? Because that's what he explained in Isaiah 28, here a little and there a little. So in the 2,000 years of the church age, people have come along from generation to generation and have tried to gain understanding of what the Word of God said. Some saw it this way, some saw it that way, and there was always disagreements, and there are right now. I run with some guys that are solid, King James Version only, no Greek, Hebrew, none of that stuff. We don't see eye to eye on everything. We don't fight about it. We don't call each other heretics. We don't do that. But we still see eye to eye on everything. And so Pastor Reg pastors his church. Mike Hoggard pastors mine. Mike Hutzel pastored a church. He's in evangelism now. Brother Lonnie Burks, Brother Charlie James. Some of these guys I love and I trust them. They're like elders to me. But I don't know if I agree with everything they say. John Uter down in Lebanon. We're buddies. But I'm sure if we sat down and talked long enough, he'd go, boy, Brother Mike, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you ought to, John. No, we don't. We just don't. So there are differences. And it's best when people who have a particular ideology, it's best that they get together and meet with people of like faith and mind. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think God does either, because not everybody can be this soft tissue skin that's on the underside of your arm. Everybody take your finger like this and make little pinchers and then pinch the underside of your arm. Just grab it like a little millimeter of skin and pinch it real hard. Ow, that hurt. That's all soft skin. It's very sensitive, but it serves a purpose, right? Now, take that same amount and grab the skin right on the end of your elbow and do the same thing. It doesn't hurt, does it? God designed it differently, but it's part of the same body, okay? So I'm not so bad on different denominations believing different things, so long as they're basing their understanding upon sola scriptura, okay? So anyway, I appreciate that. Pat wants to know, we heard you talk about the audio Bible last night. Can we download it from your website? No. But give us a call here or send Alicia an email or somebody or Gary at kingjamesco.org or Kay at kingjamescode.org, or Alicia at kingjamescode.org, and they'll pop you a disc in your next Watchers packet. All right? Oh, man, it's been good. Hey, I got an announcement. Get ready. That wasn't a drum roll. Do I have a drum roll? I don't have a drum roll. That wasn't one either. I'm going on vacation next week. Leave me alone. No, I'm serious. I won't be here next week. So we will, to fill the space, next Tuesday and Thursday, we will rebroadcast an earlier Pastor Mike Online, one that you forgot about. And undoubtedly, people will write in and say, hey, Pastor Mike, hey, you know, it's good to talk to you on the broadcast. It won't be me. It'll be the old me back, you know, whatever. Okay. We're just going to do that to help you fill the time. But I am going on vacation next week. So you pray for Brady. He's going to be filling in for me. I'll be here this Sunday. But as of Monday, I'm gone for a week. All right. And then pray for our church. Pray for some of the people in our church that have needs right now that would need their pastor. You help me pray about that, because I'm going to be nervous while I'm gone anyway, because I love my church. Leslie, telling me happy birthday tomorrow. Thank you very much, Leslie. It is my birthday tomorrow. I will be 48 years old. Yay. Okay. So anyway, I love you. We'll see ya. I ran out of music, didn't I? Anyway, we'll see you later. God bless you all. Here's George Bush holding the Pastor Mike